This is Hollis McCarthy. Thanks for listening. Talit plunged his own face into the trickle of smoke and seized the dragon by the nostrils and dragged its head back, and still farther back. Its forefeet and breast came clear of the ground, and as the dragon thrashed, Aaron's leg came free, and she pulled the dagger from her boot and thrust it into the dragon's scaleless breast. The dragon shrieked, the noise muffled by Talit's grip on its nose, and Aaron stumbled away to pick up her sword. Talit swung the dying dragon back and forth, and slashed at its body with one forefoot, and the muscles of his heavy stallion's neck ran with sweat and smudges of ash. Aaron lifted up the sword and sliced the dragon's belly open, and it convulsed once, shuddered, and died. Talit dropped the body and stood with his head down, shivering, and Aaron realized what she had done, and how little she had known about what it would involve, and how near she had come to failure. And her stomach rebelled, and she lost what remained of her breakfast over the smoking, mutilated corpse of the second dragon. She walked a few steps away till she came to a tree. Her head began to clear and her breathing slowed, and as she looked up and blinked vaguely at the leaves overhead, she heard Talit's hoofbeats behind her. She put out a hand, and he put his bloody nose into it, and so they remained for several heartbeats more. And then Aaron sighed and stood up. Even dragons need water. Let's look for a stream.
You know, you've only to ask, and Dee would take you to America.
She tossed the pad into the water, and suds lapped up over the rim of the sink.
And what? Live off her charity? Is that what you think I want? To take what someone is kind enough to give me?
No, he stacked the next plate.
I just wanted to see you flare up again.
You're a bastard, Mr. Logan.
True enough. And now that we're on intimate terms, you ought to call me Burke.
Oh, there's plenty I'd like to be calling you. Why don't you be on your way and let me finish here? I've got no time for the likes of you.
Then you'll have to make some.
He caught her off guard, though she told herself later she should have been expecting it. With her arms still elbow deep in water, he curled a hand around her neck and kissed her. It was quick, but a great deal more of a threat than a promise. His lips were hard and firm and surprisingly warm as he pressed them against hers. For a second, for two, she didn't have time to react, and certainly no time to think before he'd released her again and picked up another dish. She swallowed, and beneath the soapy water her hands were fists.
You've a nerve, you do. A man doesn't get very far without any, or a woman.
Just remember this. If I want you touching me, I'll let you know.
Your eyes say plenty, Irish. It's a pleasure to watch 'em.
She pulled the plug on the sink. I've the floor to do. You'll have to get your feet off it.
Well, then I guess I'd better go take that walk.
Without another word or another glance, he strolled out the back door. Aaron waited a full 10 seconds, then gave herself the satisfaction of heaving a wet rag after him.
Get a needle into her fast before she does any more damage. That last shot, she clipped Lou.
Mulliner, I recognized the security director's voice.
This is how you earned your mention, isn't it?
I made myself relax, deflated my chest, twisted to my side, was almost free when I felt the sting of a needle through my cutoffs into my hip. I got a knee up and into the groin of the sitter, tried to stand as he fell away with a scream of pain, but then I fell myself, my head and arms as heavy as if 1,000 pounds of sand had landed on my head.
10 milligrams. I thought that would get to her fast.
Mulliner speaking, proud of himself.
Where's the clipping?
I was sure I knew that voice, too, that fruity baritone.
We'll take care of this now,
Fruity said. He pulled a cigarette lighter from his pocket.
No smoking in here, I tried to say, but that wasn't the point. The point was, he was setting fire to the newspaper story, which I needed to save. It was so important. It was the story of Layden's life. No, that wasn't right.
But it didn't matter.
He was rubbing the charred fragments between his fingers and laughing.
And now, let's get this overeager snooper to bed. She needs to sleep with the fishes tonight, Fruity said.
Not Marlon Brando, I muttered. No, you.
Yeah, bitch, and I know you too. So up you get. He laughed again and tried to pick me up. Jeez, bitch weighs a ton. Give me a hand here, guys.
She got Lou in the nuts, Mulliner said. And my head isn't too good, but hers won't be worth shit in the morning.
Lou, you nutless wonder. Stop crying. Hold the doors.
When it was a question not of taking the right decision, but of saying the right thing, Elizabeth usually succeeded in enthralling her audience. And she struck just the right note at Tilbury.
I have always so behaved myself that, under God, I have placed my chiefest strength and safeguard in the loyal heart and goodwill of my subjects. And therefore I am come amongst you, as you see, at this time, not for my recreation and disport, but being resolved, in the midst and heat of the battle, to live or die amongst you all, to lay down for my God and for my kingdom and for my people, my honour and my blood, even in the dust. I know I have the body of a weak and feeble woman, but I have the heart and stomach of a king, and of a king of England too, and think foul scorn that Palmer or Spain or any prince of Europe should dare to invade the borders of my realm. To which, rather than that any dishonour shall grow by me, I myself will take up arms. I myself will be your general, judge, and rewarder of every one of your virtues in the field. I know already for your forwardness you have deserved rewards and crowns, and we do assure you, in the words of a prince, they shall be duly paid you.
She was slow in performing this last promise, for the men who defeated the Armada, like her soldiers in the Netherlands, waited for many weeks, half starved, before they received their wages.